Welcome to Lake Mount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
You ready for the Word of God this morning? I just feel the need to refocus our hearts on what God is doing today. It's good to be informed, but it's not good for us to be inundated with all the other stuff that's going on. Sometimes we can get overwhelmed with headlines. Headlines don't tell me what God is doing. God's Word tells me what God is doing. And when I learn to view the world through God's Word, then I get a prophetic lens on things that I'm seeing. But as is typical in the kingdom of God, things are not as they appear. And I believe that this world needs a thriving and alive church. And this is what Jesus is building. It's not a scared group of people that are kind of hiding away, but God, Jesus is building his church. And it's the activities of the church, even a local church such as this. It's the activity of the local church, of people that are focused on God, that welcome the presence of God, that live in the light of his face, live in the light of his truth, live in his love, let the world know that we're believers and followers of Jesus Christ by our love. As the activities of the church increase, that becomes the dominant atmosphere on the planet. I believe that. So, a major temptation for us is to become intimidated by what we see immediately in front of us and miss the supernatural activity that is happening all around us. It's a major temptation. Consider this. Jesus called Peter to walk on the water. Jesus, not Jesus even as we know him, where we're reading and then we know by faith in the indwelling Holy Spirit, but Jesus incarnate, Jesus in the flesh, is standing on water. He's show and telling how to do it. Jesus is standing on the water, and Peter says, if it's really you, call me out there. And so Jesus says, come. And Peter steps on the water, and with Jesus in the flesh standing on the water in an atmosphere of the miraculous, Peter looked at the wind and the waves and sank. It's possible for us to be right in the presence of the miraculous and yet get our eye on the wrong thing and start to sink a little bit. And I feel the call of the Lord this morning just to shift our focus above the noise, above what we can just immediately see. Look beyond the wind and the waves and look for the activity of Jesus in the middle of the storm. Look for what God's doing in our lifetime. We don't build our faith on our experience. Listen, until our experience becomes heavenly. See, if we build our faith only on our experience, if what I experience is less than what God's Word says is possible, and then I bring my faith level down to what I've experienced, if I've prayed for, a breakthrough in an area, if I've prayed for something that God says is possible, I pray for a healing, and then the healing doesn't come. So then if I bring my theology down and I change my faith to say, well, then I don't know that God always heals, or I develop a theology to try to accommodate that disappointment, then I'm building bad theology. How many know that's true? Right? I'm building bad theology. But by the same token, God calls us to have theology that actually comes into experience. Jesus calls us to pray for things to happen on earth the way that they're happening in heaven. So when that begins to happen, when heavenly realities become an earthly reality, then my experience is starting to catch up with what he says is possible. And from there, I can start to say, okay, now I've learned some stuff about how to pray. Now I've learned, and I start to work my theology out based on experience that is transitioning from heaven to earth. Does that make sense? So we're learning how to press in and contend until our experience catches up with what God says is possible. And learning how to learning how to hold everything lightly, where we don't allow the enemy to cause for us to take disappointment, personalize it, internalize it, and then project it onto God. It's so important for us. But that we understand that there's tension in the earth that we live in, and we learn how to grieve and believe at the same time. That we learn how to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, celebrate a testimony of healing at a banquet, and rejoice with that, and weep with the loss of a sister all at once. And allow God to teach us how to walk with Him in the highs and the lows, the valleys, and in the mountaintops. And this morning, I want to go to a text. I reference this text often in different contexts, but actually just preaching straight from this text. I'm going to ask you to turn to Micah chapter 4, actually coming right from this text. It's actually been a number of years. And I felt just the Lord stirring in my heart to just remind us, call to our remembrance, some of the last days scripture that we need to have the right perspective on what God is doing and what He says He's going to do in the last days. Do you believe it's the last days? That's good, because that's like asking if you believe today is Sunday or if the sun is out. Peter said on the day of Pentecost that it was the last days. So that was 2,000 years ago. We're in the last days. It's not a debate. And whenever Scripture talks about the activity of God in the last days, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, anything that talks about activities surrounding the return of Christ, it's the responsibility of the church in every generation to pull those things forward. The Apostle Peter says that we can actually look toward the day of the return of Christ and we can speed its coming. We can actually accelerate heavenly activities through our faith. Amen? Everybody have a late night? I can tell. We can actually speed and accelerate the activity of God. As we look for, Peter says, as we look forward to the return of Christ and speed its coming, there are actions. So how is it impossible to please God? It's impossible to please God without faith. So if we get our faith lined up, we're going to please God. As we operate by faith and not by sight, when we aim and live our lives that way, what we do is we begin to partner with what heaven says is possible without getting disappointed over what we're missing. And we just keep pushing toward it. And as we do, we start to speed up the timeline. It's the responsibility of the church in every generation to actually look at what God says is going to happen in the last days and say and determine in our hearts, we're going to live in that. We're going to experience that in our time. We cannot keep kicking it down the hall to the next generation and just, well, some revival is coming at some point. Some passionate revivalists are raising up at some point. Things maybe are going to have to go into a death spiral for a bit, and then people really get desperate, and then we'll call it to God, and then it'll be revived. No, we actually have to look at what God says is possible and look past the headlines and look to what He says and say, God, we want to see that in our lifetime. And so this morning, I want us to just look at two verses from Micah chapter 4. And I want us to believe this morning as I preach this word, I'm declaring even now that the atmosphere is going to shift toward the word of the Lord, that the faith will come by the hearing of this word, and we'll say, yeah, we're going to look for that in our lifetime. Micah chapter 4, verse 1, in the last days, you could just write next to that, right about now. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. And it will be raised above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, so that we may walk in His paths. And the law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. in the last days, in the days that we live, in the days where the headlines are reading like they're reading right now, in the days where political climates are topsy-turvy, in the days where there are tensions and there are wars and rumors of wars, in the days where there's famine and pestilence and there's difficulty all over the earth, in those days, God says, what's going to happen is the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the chief among the mountains, and many nations will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Come, let us sit under the teaching of the voice of God, and He will speak to us, and we will learn His ways. In this day, when it's possible, you know, for us to just read headlines and then just go, oh boy, I hope Jesus comes on a rescue mission because this looks really bad. In these days, God wants us to get our eyes on what He says He's doing. God does not need a statistical advantage to win. God doesn't need everything pointed in His favor in order to establish His agenda. God doesn't need any kind of thing to line up and make it look like it's about to happen. What God is looking for and what Jesus is building is a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? He's looking for a faith-filled people who are keeping themselves clean and keeping themselves ready with one eye on heaven and looking for the kingdom to come to earth and saying, God, in our lifetime, we want to see the mountain of the Lord's temple established. And so these verses teach me what to look for. These verses teach me what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for demise. I'm not looking for the dark ages to return. I'm not looking for things to spiral out of control. When Jesus talked about the conditions of His return and in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars and famines and all that stuff, He's not giving us a promise saying, you know, the worse it gets, the closer I'm coming. He's saying those are the conditions that I'm sending my church into. And whenever Jesus sends us into perilous conditions, He sends us with the solution. He doesn't send us to just observe and just talk about how bad things are getting. Any prophet, Old Testament or New, when Ezekiel looks into a valley of dry bones, you know, that's 10% prophetic. 10%. Just, wow, things are dry. Look at that. Look, you know, that's not prophetic. Just get up and talk about how dry everything is. And boy, is everything ever dry. And look at how dead, look at the church. Oh boy, that's dry. I don't know if God can do anything with all those bones. God comes to Ezekiel, hey, can these bones live? You know. And what does God tell him? Is He seeing prophetically? Yes. But seeing prophetically and speaking prophetically are two different things. He says to him, son of man, prophesy. Speak. Speak what? Tell these bones to come together. Tell these bones to be something other than what they are right now. And He spoke into those bones. They rattled and came together while He was speaking. Tissue and tendons and skin. And stood before Him was an entire army. And then He noticed there was still no breath. And He prophesied breath. God is looking for a prophetic church. He's looking and He's building a prophetic church that doesn't just take things as they come, but they realize we have prophetic authority to call those things that are not as though they are and speak into the atmosphere around us and call for the change that can only come by the supernatural power of God. I believe that one of the strategies of the enemy is to get the church to shy away from the supernatural. I believe that's one of the strategies of the enemy in the Canadian church, in the North American church. Let's just see if we can move away from the supernatural. And we don't want to weird anybody out. You take evangelistic passion and you hijack it and turn it into being ashamed. Genuinely, I love people. Genuinely, I just don't want to make anyone think that I'm weird. So I'm just going to shy away from the stuff that I can't really explain all that easy. I don't know how to explain speaking in tongues. And I don't know how to explain when I put my hand on you that you can feel the power of God flow through you. And I don't know how to explain that I can know things that I otherwise can't know by word of knowledge or word of wisdom or prophetic. And so I don't want to make it seem weird. And so if the enemy could just coax the church into silence on the supernatural, I believe it's one of the greatest temptations. Why? Because look at the supernatural appetite in the world that we live. And if the church is silent, then the people are going to go everywhere else and think that the church is a place for boring, light a candle and just sit there for 2 minutes, can't understand a word and leave. And yet, the entire ministry of Jesus was supernatural. The entire ministry of Jesus was supernatural. He never changed the subject. He didn't just preach. He healed. And when the opposition came, he put his hands on 12 guys and says, you go do this too. Let's take it up a notch. It was a supernatural initiative of heaven to release the kingdom of God on the earth. It's not political. It's supernatural. The weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but they're powerful to the tearing down and demolishing of strongholds. We have spiritual authority. Jesus is building his church. And it's a spiritual enterprise. So if the entire ministry of Jesus is supernatural, and if you read the book of Revelation, you'll understand that the way that the Antichrist comes to power is by a display of supernatural things. So wouldn't it just be the cunning of the evil one to get the church to be like, well, I don't want to make anybody feel weird, so let's just up the production value and just entertain. And that's not what we're called to do. Jesus is building his church. And I want to tell you, the church that Jesus is building looks like himself. And in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple is going to be established as chief among the nations. In the last days, God's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. On all flesh. So while the church, and I'm prophesying as much as I'm preaching this morning. A church that shies away from supernatural activity divorces itself from the activity of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. So there's a world that's encountering, they're having dreams. They're trying to figure out what's going on. They have a God hunger that's being stirred inside of them. And if the church is silent, then they go and they try to scratch that itch somewhere else. So these scriptures, Micah chapter 4, 1 and 2, these tell me what to look for. This is what my faith gets in line for. I'm looking for the mountain of the Lord's temple to be established. It shows me that I'm not looking for a shrinking, dying church. I'm looking for a thriving church that has the hand of God on it. This teaches my faith what to look for. John the Baptist in John chapter 1 verse 33, when he was giving his testimony about the ministry of Jesus, he said, I didn't know who the Messiah was going to be. I didn't know who the anointed one was going to be. But the one who sent me, God the Father, the one who sent John the Baptist, he says, the one who sent me told me that I would find him by baptizing in the wilderness. In other words, John the Baptist is preaching in a wilderness and crowds are showing up and he just keeps dunking people looking for the Christ. What should we do to respond to your message? Come here. Nope, not him. Come here. John 1:33, read it for yourself. He knows what he's looking for. I'm preaching and I'm baptizing because I want to discover this revival that I'm in. I'm not distracted by it. I'm still looking for the greater thing. I'm looking for the Christ. I'm not distracted. People are saying to John the Baptist, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Could this guy, is this? You know, everyone's saying really flowery, amazing things, and he's not distracted by that. No. I got my eye on the ball. I know what I'm looking for. These verses, Micah chapter 4, tell me what to look for. I'm looking for this to be my experience. This is what the last days church will look like. This is what Jesus is building. So we need to love what God is currently doing, and we need to prayerfully oppose the rise of evil in the world. But listen, we must keep our hearts steady on what he's promised is coming and align our hope and faith with the assurance that what he has said will happen, will happen. And so this is what he says the church will look like in the last days. First phrase, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. It's an interesting phrase, the mountain of the Lord's temple. A mountain is something that only God can build. A temple is something that we can build. In the last days, God is calling us into a supernatural partnership with the building, a place of his presence and the glory of his dwelling, the mountain of the Lord's temple, that we see heaven and earth combine. And what God is going to do is this word picture that the prophet brings, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains, as chief among the nations. That means that God is calling the church to a place of increased influence. Not decreased influence. Increased influence. Increased influence of what? Just, you know, political agenda or just, you know, just lots of friendly people that everyone feels good about? Or the supernatural establishing of what Jesus is building in the nations? He's establishing that the mountain of the Lord's temple, the temple that God is building. We know from Acts chapter 15 that what God is building in these last days is the fallen temple or tabernacle or tent of David. It is a people of 24 hours a day worship and prayer. That we are, it's not just about opening the doors and having nonstop prayer movements. That's good. And that may increase in our lifetime. That's fine. But it's not just about the activity as a locality, but it's about the heart position of God's people being those that are in a place of constant communion and fellowship and worship to the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. And he says, the man who doesn't work shouldn't eat. So that means that you need to be able to pray while you work. You can whistle while you work. You can pray while you work. But you can be a person of prayer. You can be a person of the presence of God. You can host the manifest presence and the glory of the Lord. The mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the nations. That's an increase of influence. It's also an increase in prominence. It will be raised above the hills, it says. That means that God wants to elevate the house of the Lord in the eyes of the nations. Think about that. Get your eye on that. Not what you read in the headlines. Not what people fearmonger on Facebook. Just get your eye on what God says he's doing in this last days. That there's an emerging prominence of the house of the Lord. There's an emerging prominence to the voice of the Lord within the church. That the activity of what God's doing in the church is going to affect what's happening outside the church. God's bringing about a shift where the verse 2 says, many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Many nations. Picture this now. This is prophetic imagery, but somehow nations begin to discuss among one another and say, hey, you know what we should do? We should get to the house of God. Nations coming to the house of God. Sounds too good to be true, Pastor Matt. I don't know. I'm just going to align my faith with what Jesus said. He said, ask of me and I'll give you nations. What if he meant it? What if he meant it? What if God doesn't exaggerate? What if God doesn't exaggerate and God doesn't have opinions? What if he's saying how things are actually going to be? What if he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end? What if he's already there and he's telling us how it is? What if he's speaking from the future into our now, saying, here's how to get to where I am. Here's how to get to what I'm building. I am bringing the church into a place of prominence where the nations are going to say, let's get to the house of God. Let's get to the house of God. That means that there has to be a locality. There has to be a sense of we know how to get to where the house of God is. Yes, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you are personally. Yes, we are corporately. But when we gather together, geography matters to God. There's a sense of nations knowing that there's a geography, a locality where we need to get to the house of God. There's something that God's putting over the nations. The prophet Isaiah said God's going to whistle to the nations and summon them. That there is a calling that God is sending out by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's pouring his spirit on all of them. He's looking for a church that will partner with him. And in that time of rain, ask him for rain and become an epicenter of his glory in the nations. But the nations will say, come, let's go. They're attracted. They're drawn like a magnetic pull. Something inside is drawn. Do you know the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is the home for every human heart? That's what home feels like for every single human being. That's what it feels like. I was designed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are made to be filled. We're made to be filled. And we try to fill ourselves with other things. And Prophet Jeremiah said that it's like we've got cracked cisterns that can't hold any water. We just keep trying to fill ourselves with stuff that can't satisfy. people trying all that stuff and they come away perpetually unsatisfied. The church's response to that is not to stand with a wagging finger and scold and say, you're trying bad things, you're bad. It's not good. You know what the answer is? The church being so full of the Holy Spirit that people are just, I want that. I want that. I want that. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. As we shine light in the darkness, do you know what you focus on in a dark room? The light. I want that. Do you know where you head when you're out on a stormy sea and you can't see, and all of a sudden you see a light? You head for the light. People come to those last minutes. What do? They head for the light. What are we to do? We're to be the light of the world, salt of the earth, making people thirsty and shining the light, holding out the light of truth and letting that become attractive. What do you mean attractive, Pastor Matt? I mean many nations are going to nudge each other and say, let's get to the house of God. I want to get there. So this looks like a desire. What begins to manifest in the nations is a desire for spiritual family. They say, let us go. There's community that's built around gathering in the house of God. This is not talking about a religious obligation. This is a genuine excitement to be together. This is about saying, I really want to be in the house of God. The theme verse over this year from Isaiah 54 about the tent pegs being pulled back and enlarging the place of our dwelling. It's not about a growing crowd. It's about a growing family that we're making room for the people to come. What people? Family. People that need to know Jesus coming and saying, I want to be where you guys are. I want to be a part of that. It's not us, them. Again, what a cunning lie of the evil one to get us to be like, well, if we do talk that spiritual stuff and talk that prayer stuff and talk that God stuff, people will think I'm weird. And yet there's this craving inside for people to go, I want to know the purpose of my life beyond just it just doesn't add up all here. I don't leave my brain at the door. It's just my brain fails me at the conclusion of some things that I need to know. It's a spiritual longing, a spiritual hunger. And people are nudging, saying, come, let's go. So there's this longing and desire for spiritual family. And there's a desire that is emerging in this day. And I prophesy this is a desire in our time that there's an increased hunger for the presence of the Lord. They say, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob. We want to get to God's house. We want to get to the mountain of the Lord. We're hungering to be in the presence of the Lord. I just declare that today in the nation of Canada, there's an increased hunger for the presence of the Lord, for people who want to be in the house of God. Listen, if we're going to see revival in our nation, we're going to have to just stop talking about how dry the bones are and start prophesying the coming together of the army of God. We're going to have to start talking about what Jesus is doing, what Jesus is building. It doesn't happen without us. Isn't that something? God says to Ezekiel, hey, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. And then God doesn't say, stand back and watch. But he says, prophesy. Speak to it. I want you to speak what I'm saying. I don't want to just say it. I want you to say it. I want you to prophesy. Life. I want you to prophesy breath. I want you to prophesy the agenda of heaven. I want you to get my heart for what I'm building in these days, and then I want you to declare it with your mouth. So what am I doing this morning? I'm simply modeling something for you that I want us to begin to grab hold of as a house, that we need to just start speaking those things that are not as though they are. Just start speaking. There's a hunger in our nation. There is a hunger in our nation. There is a spiritual thirst. There are people looking for an encounter with God. There are people everywhere that are having a spiritual longing and a thirst, and they're trying to get that thirst quenched in different places, and it's not satisfying. But the house of the Lord is being established, and the mountain of the Lord's temple is being raised up as chief among the nations. Many nations within our borders are saying, come, let's go to the mountain of the Lord and be in the house of God. We want to be in the house of Jacob. We want to know God by name. We don't want to just have some spiritual experience. We want to know the Lord. We speak those things out today. This desire to live in the eternal realities of the kingdom of God within our lifetime, that's what God's calling us to. God is calling us to a deeper love for his presence. Why? Because if you don't love the presence of God, heaven is going to be a real disappointment. if we just build comfy little gatherings where we don't encounter God, heaven will feel like a real culture shock. Because in heaven there's no sun. Why? Because the light of his face lights the place up. If we love him, we'll want to be near him. And his presence has always been the distinguishing mark of his people. Finally, what does Micah say is going to be a mark of this in the people, a mark of this transformation in our lifetimes? There will be a deep hunger for the voice of the Lord. There'll be hunger for his voice. How do I know that? Because they say, let's be in the house of God, let's be in the house of Jacob, so that he will teach us his ways. He will teach us his ways. Can you just feast on that with me for a second? He will teach us his ways. This is different than teaching me his laws. This is different than him teaching me the do's and the don'ts. This is different than him teaching me the explaining stuff to me. This is different than me just getting puffed up in knowledge. He'll teach me his ways. The intimate ones throughout Scripture and throughout history have always said, God, show me your ways. The intimate ones. Show me your ways. I want to see how you do things. I want to get to the motive and the how. I want to get to the how. I trust you with my why. I trust you with the stuff I don't understand. But show me your ways. Show me the way that you do stuff. His word from beginning to end is a record of his ways. It's not a how-to manual of this is the way to get saved, this is the way to get filled with the Holy Spirit, this is how to build a church, this is how to lead a team. It's here's a story of God walking with Adam and Eve, and here's how God walked with Noah, and here's how God walked with Joshua, and here's how God walked with Moses. Here's the mistakes that David made, here's the victories that David had. Here's the high points of Solomon's life, here's some of the low points. Here's how disciples walked with Jesus in the New Testament. Here's where they had some real wins. Here's how, where they had some losses. And what do we get from that? We get his ways. We don't get a manual. We get his ways. We get to look and we get to see, so you don't play whack-a-mole with me when I make a mistake, pounding me down. But instead, in love, there's like a rebuke of just, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? You're doing so good walking on water. Peter sits there like, I had little faith. I walked on water. Yeah, because you took like 10 steps. We could have, can you imagine like if he didn't have little faith? What would we be reading about? Like Jesus and Peter playing volleyball on the waves? I don't know. Pushing the boat? I don't know. Lord, teach us your ways. There'll become a hunger in the heart of people to get from the do's and don'ts and get to the heart. Yeah. The do's and the don'ts become the foregone conclusion. I'm not wrestling over what I wish I could have as my personal liberties anymore. That's just kindergarten. I actually want to move into, I want to know you more. And I want to know your ways. And I want to move with you the way that you move. It'll be this hunger for his voice. The people that will be streaming to the mountain of the Lord's temple will be marked by a passion for unity and the presence of God and the word of the Lord and a commitment to, and it will be among the nations that there's something that God says that he's doing. And I just want to declare today in our hearing and for the sake of our faith getting refocused and retooled, that while we read headlines and while we need to rightly be burdened to pray for things that we see happening around the world, and we see the different attacks, or we see the different things going on, and we get unsettled. Listen, whenever you get unsettled, something has got its foundation on the wrong spot. We need to lean right back into the voice of the Lord, who's King over the nations. And he's saying, listen to what I'm doing in these last days. While all that rumbling's going on, while things are looking really bad, what I'm going to do is I'm going to establish the mountain of the Lord's temple as chief among the nations. And many people will say, come, let's get to the mountain of the Lord. We want to be in the house of God. We want to hear his voice. We want him to teach us his ways. We want to walk in his paths. There's more going on than we can see. I want you to stand with me to your feet this morning. I've said this to you before, I'll say it again just for the benefit of your understanding this morning, is that the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord is often just, there's a prophesying into the atmosphere that just, we just need to lay hold of something that's beyond where we are. Take the next step to what God says. I'm just declaring into the atmosphere that there's a different posture of faith. There's something more to see. You just close your eyes with me this morning. I'm going to ask for our prayer team to come. Just line up across the front here. I want to be ready to pray with people here this morning. But I want us to just corporately lay hold of the word of the Lord this morning. By the word of the Lord this morning, just dismantle the arguments of this just being ethereal or conceptual or sounding too good to be true. It only sounds that way because we get our eyes focused too low. I want to declare this morning that what God is doing in our lifetime, what Jesus is building in our lifetime, is a glorious church without a spot or blemish, a victorious people that have hunger for the presence of the Lord, hunger for the word of the Lord. What God is doing is He's summoning nations. What God is doing is He's placing a spiritual hunger within the nation of Canada, within the nation of the United States, within Mexico, and in the nations all around the world, over in Turkey and everything that's happening there today. He's putting a hunger in that nation. All over this world, He's putting hunger. He's depositing spiritual hunger. And Father, as a house today, Lord, we partner with what you're saying and what you're doing. We say, God, build what only you can build, and we're going to come alongside. You build the mountain, God, we'll build the temple. We're coming, Lord, to be the people that you're calling us to be. Father, we thank you that you are awakening a spiritual hunger in our city. You're awakening a spiritual hunger in Grimsby and in Beamsville. Come on, just name your own city this morning. Name your own residents, God. You're doing it in St. Catharines. You're awakening a spiritual hunger in Burlington and Oakville and Hamilton, God. You're doing it. There's a spiritual hunger that is emerging in the nations, God. People are saying, let's get to the house of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to look not at things as they are, but look at them as what they could be. And so, Father, I pray today for a prophetic confidence that, God, you would cause for us to be bold. You would cause for us, Lord, to align wholeheartedly with who you are and what you're saying and what you're doing. We ask, Father, today, I ask you, Lord, for a holy boldness to come upon this house in Jesus' name. Boldness in prayer. I pray, Father, that you would cause for us to lift our eyes beyond the circumstance into what you say you're doing in this day. You're pouring out your spirit on all flesh. You're doing it today, God. So help us, Father, to get our eyes on what you're doing and what you're saying. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, for anointed boldness. I ask you, Lord, for anointed sight. Father, I pray today in the name of Jesus where there would be anything that would try to pull our heads downward so that we're just looking down instead of looking up. I pray, Father, by your word today, you would snap those bonds, you would snap those cords, and cause for us, Lord, to be tethered to your voice, tethered to what you're saying, and drawn ever closer. We declare, Father, that this nation is going to come into revival. That this nation is one of the nations crying out, saying, let's get to the house of God. So, Father, I pray that you would redeem our evangelistic passion. Redeem it, God. Help us to have passion for you that, Lord, makes room for you. That as we reach out in love, that, Father, there would come a full dependence upon the anointing, a full dependence on the power of your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, you would draw through us. You would draw through us. Holy Spirit, we just declare our complete dependence on you, Lord. Lord Jesus, you are building this church. And we know that the plans of hell cannot prevail against it. We're people fervently committed to you, to your voice, and to your presence. in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you receive it, would you say amen this morning? Amen. Bless you today. If you want prayer for anything at all, I want you to just come. We have people here ready to pray with you. Prayer for any kind of need, anything going on in your heart. If you want to pray into this word, we welcome you to come and just join us.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.